Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit they may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. As we see and we heard in the readings this morning, we had a kind of a thanking God, one from the Psalm reading, and also from this context of the gospel we have of this foreigner who came back to give thanks to God for his healing. Now, this morning's gospel pictures this episode as, again, Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. On the border between Samaria and Galilee, 10 lepers encounter him, and one of them is a Samaritan. Now, they don't cry out in praise to Jesus. No, they cry out for mercy because they are in dire straits. I mean, after all, they're outcasts from society. If you're a leper back in those days, you had to wear raggedy clothes, had to carry a bell, and every time you encountered a crowd of people, you had to cry out, unclean, unclean, you know, let them know that you should be in quarantine. And so that's what they did. And they cried out, and of course, they also cried out to Jesus, have mercy on them, okay? And so he did. He again said to them, go show yourselves to the priests, and go on your way. And of course they did, and on the way, while they're going to the priest again to get their little certificate, like we have when we go and stamp meat at the USDA stamp that says it's okay. I mean, that's what they did, to go get that stamp from the priest, say everything's all right, you're all clean now, you can go home. Take their raggedy clothes off, put on regular clothes, and be cleansed and be healed again. And so there they are, they're on their way, and of course what happens is they see they are clean. And they're just happy as they can be. And so 9 of them hurry off, scurry on again to the priest to get that little stamp of approval. But one of them, this Samaritan of all people, turns back to give thanks to God. And so we see this, that Jesus' course is kind of like in a kind of a quandary there, because weren't 10 cleansed? I mean, he's got a right to ask that question. I mean, because, you know, he said there was 10 guys there. I mean, I thought I cleaned up all of them. And only one guy comes back. So in this rush of joy and the fact of their, you know, feeling happy about their cleanse, I mean, maybe they forgot about the idea about saying thanks. I mean, come back to Jesus and say, hey, really, thanks for healing us, okay? We really appreciate this. But no, they were on their way because thinking of themselves, possibly. I mean, I can't second guess these guys. But I can't think about the fact is that maybe after how many years you were like a leper and all of a sudden you're clean again, you're just so happy when you get there, get that little stamp from the priest saying, yeah, you're okay, and you go back home again. I mean, maybe that's why they all rushed off. Except the one guy, again, who has this attitude of gratitude. That's what I call the sermon. Attitude of gratitude. Means that he had felt that he needed to go back and to tell Jesus that he was thankful, okay? And to thank God. And not only that, but he throws himself at Jesus' feet. Now, I mean, you can't get no more humble than that, okay? I mean, that's why when we have ordination services, I mean, the ordinary prostrates himself out here on the floor. I mean, that's the proper way. The proper attitude before God is flat on your face, okay? Because that's the only way you can deal with God. Because you don't need to be looking at him, and you don't need to be nothing but just get down on your face and just thank him that he ain't wiped you out. And so, he prostrates himself at Jesus' feet. And the issue, of course, is that, you know, you're trying to say thank you. I heard a guy preaching one time, Dr. Joel Gregory, he used to be the pastor at First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. I heard him on the TV one time saying that in the Maasai tribes in Africa, they have an unusual way of saying I thank you. They say, my head is in the dirt, in their language, okay? And so that's the way of saying thank you. That's what this Samaritan did. He got his head in the dirt to thank Jesus for what he had done to him. And so, do you ever think about falling down at somebody's feet and saying thank you to them? It's awful quiet out there. Probably not. I mean, you know, we say thank you, okay? I mean, I'm a fan of watching that TV program on TNT called The Closer. Anybody ever see that? With, you know, when Deputy Chief Brenda Lee Johnson, you know, she's always saying, thank you so much. You know, it's got a cute way of saying thank you, okay? And so the issue, of course, is that it may sound insincere when she says it, but, you know, so some folks saying thank you may be kind of hard. I mean, after all, who says thank you all the time? We do it once in a while, don't we? Thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for the Christmas present. Thank you for the birthday present. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. But in this case, for this guy, he's really saying thank you because, I mean, his life has changed. His life has changed completely by the fact that he can now go home again. I mean, he's a new person, okay? And so the issue is, saying thank you is more than just saying the words. It's an attitude you have in your mind when you say thank you to someone. And now the issue, of course, is that, you know, when we do this, the game of saying thank you is the fact that, you know, do we want some more later on? That's why we say thank you now? I mean, so you can give me some more later on? I mean, what's the issue here? And so Jesus had the same kind of concept when he was talking to the Pharisees when they were, you know, he's at a dinner with them one time, and he saw these guys were jockeying for the best seats. And so he tried to remind them, the fact is, don't think about, you know, inviting somebody to dinner, you know, who can invite you again in return, can repay you. Think about inviting the poor and the lame and the blind and those folks who can't repay you. Now that is a right attitude of gratitude toward God, because you're helping someone who really can't. The issue, of course, is helping folks who can't give it, can pay you back. Now see, that's, we talk about laying up treasure in heaven, the idea about giving to someone who probably can't give back to you. And that's the whole idea of really stewardship is all about. What do we do with the gifts that God has given us? Do we say thank you by what? Can't give to God, because who can outgive God? Nobody. I mean, we can't outgive him because he's given us everything. First of all, he let us wake up this morning. Okay? That's the issue you got to think about. Be thanking God for as you woke up and said, wow, I'm alive. Hey, this is cool. Okay? Now, there has been times in my life when I woke up not wishing I was alive. It's only been two times in my life, actually. Once when I was on a ship when I was 19 years old and I was sick as a dog. Okay? I was throwing up all over the place. In fact, I saw my mama's milk come up. I mean, that's how sick I was. Now, that time, I wish I didn't wake up. Okay? The other time was when I was a couple years ago and I was in University Hospital with a really bad problem. But the issue, of course, is that most of the time, we're going to think happy about waking up in the morning. Okay? So God says that we have to have the right attitude about this thing. And sometimes we have to do an attitude adjustment. How do we adjust our attitudes? The Pharisees were all these nitpicking guys that were giving Jesus a hard time. So he was trying to adjust their attitude. And he said to them at one time, you guys are a bunch of hypocrites. All right? Isaiah did prophesy well when he said, these folks honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. And he called the people to him and said, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a person. Meaning that whatever we say, what comes out of our hearts, okay, this is what may defile us. In other words, not make us straight or right with God. Because we can say the wrong thing at the wrong time. Or we can say the wrong thing at the right time. Okay? The issue is saying the wrong thing. And so God wants us to have this attitude that where we can have a concept of giving thanks to him and also reaching out to others at the same time. The attitudes, of course, are things that give birth to evil thoughts. The attitude is what starts in our bodies, in our minds, that lets into thoughts that may turn into something that comes out of our mouth that may not be worthy of God. The issue, of course, is do the attitudes we have grace God or not? It's because what's going on inside us, that's what God can see. The story, again, of 1 Samuel, when Samuel went down to anoint the next king of Israel, went to Jesse's house, and, of course, he saw the first son of Jesse, Eliab, and he said, this must be the king. The boy looking big and handsome and strong. But God said, don't look on his appearance or the height of his stature. I have rejected him, because the Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And that's why I've been in the military for years. You know, when you encounter other military guys and we're all in uniform, we're all checking each other out. How much stuff we got on our chest up here? What kind of patches we got on our shoulders? What kind of stuff? What are you kind of badges you're wearing? And so we get the idea about what a person is by what we see on the outside. God says, don't look on that mess. Okay? We look on the inside. He checks the heart out. And that's very hard for us to do. We can only see what a person's attitude is by what comes out of their mouth. What kind of behaviors do we see? Do they behave in the proper way or not? That's how we can tell what the attitude is on the inside. When we see people doing things that are not right, then we can figure out the attitude wasn't right. If we see them or hear them saying things that are not right, we can figure out the attitude was not right. And so God wants us, again, to alleviate ourselves of all things that may denigrate us or bring about the fact that we are defiling ourselves before him. And so do we thank God? Do we thank him each and every day for the things that we're going through or the things that we're not getting or the things we are getting? The whole concept of attitude of gratitude is that God is being glorified through us each and every day. There's a song that says, give thanks with a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One, give thanks because he's given us Jesus Christ, his Son. Let the weak say I am strong, let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done. Let us give thanks. And that's a thankful song. That's an attitude of gratitude giving thanks for everything. For Christians, of course, of the sacramental persuasion, that's us, of course, and the refrain from this kind of thing, kind of song, zeroes in on the purpose and reason for giving thanks every minute of the day, because it is the Lord's day, because we give thanks to Him for everything that's going on. Now, sometimes that's difficult, especially if you're riding down Bobby Jones Expressway, doing about 60 miles an hour, of course, and someone passes you or cuts in front of you. I mean, that's pretty hard to have an attitude of gratitude. I know, because there are a lot of people driving crazily out there. But the issue, of course, is that we still must maintain that attitude that God wants us to have. The whole focus, of course, this morning, on Sunday morning, is to be giving thanks to God for the supreme gift He has given us in Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's why what we celebrate is known as the Eucharist, which is Greek for good gift or giving thanks. Okay? We give thanks to God. And that's why we're here, to give thanks to Him. And, of course, the great thanksgiving. That's the point in the service when I will say, lift up your hearts. That's the point now when we're giving thanks to God. And it's the focal point of our worship, because as we come forward to partake of the body and blood of Christ, and then we give thanks with glad hearts for all He has done for us, because we are receiving Him into us. We are kneeling down before God, and of course, hold our hands out to receive the body of Christ. And we give thanks. And the whole issue, of course, is that how do we do that? We give thanks to Him each and every day. There's a story about a man named Matthew Henry. If you do any kind of research or study in Scripture, this man was a man of the 17th century, Matthew Henry. And one day, he wrote a very several commentaries on the Bible. So if you get Matthew Henry's commentary, you got about six books that have comments on all the books in the Bible. And in this, he said he was robbed. He was attacked and robbed. He was mugged, as we would say these days. And someone took his purse. So he wrote in his diary that day, "Let me be thankful. First, I was never robbed before. Second, although he took my purse, he didn't take my life. Third, although he took my all, it was not much. Fourth, let me be thankful because it was I who was robbed, and not I who did the robbing." And so, that's a reason to be thankful, okay? And so another thing is that this, another pastor, back in the 17th century in Germany, during what was known as the height of the 30 Years' War. If you know that in Germany and in Europe, there was this thing called the 30 Years' War that raged because of the Reformation. And so there was these battles going on between the Protestants and the Catholics, back and forth. And this poor pastor buried more than 5,000 of his parishioners in 1 year, an average of 15 a day. And his parish was ravaged by war, death, and economic disaster. It was a mess, and all over Europe. At the heart of that darkness, with cries of fear outside his window, he sat down and wrote this table grace for his children. Quote, "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices. No wondrous things hath done, in whom His world rejoices. No, from our mother's arms have led us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." Of course, that's become a hymn, of course, if you remember those words. And here's a man living in the darkest of circumstances. I mean, I can't get worse than that. I mean, if I got to bury folks 15 a day, I mean, I'm spending most of my time in the cemetery, okay? And all those things that are going on, people being killed, economic disaster. I mean, the economy was probably sucked worse than ours looks today to us. And the situation was really bad. And yet this man could still write, "Now thank we all our God." Now that's an attitude of gratitude. Because it seems like there's no way that this could be done without God in your heart, okay, without the right attitude. Another story about this, about the thing about in England, it's not easy being a queen. So it comes no surprise that monarchs like Queen Elizabeth, we're talking about Elizabeth I, okay, Elizabeth I, would like to escape London sometimes. Because, you know, they always have to have their little retreats they got to go on. On one such occasion, the Queen asked her chauffeur to take her for a ride in the country. Then she asked him to pull over so she could take a walk by herself. No crown, no gown, you know, no dressed up thing. She was dressed down. One of those golden moments, the Queen had just like an ordinary lady taking a walk in the country. She'd gone about a mile down the road when this sudden rain shower opened up. The Queen knocked on the door of a small hut that was nearby, and she asked the lady if she had an umbrella. The lady actually had two umbrellas, a tattered, battered old umbrella and a brand new one. She gave her the beat up one to the Queen. Okay. The Queen promised it would be returned the next day. Well, imagine the scene as a uniformed chauffeur pulled up in the royal limousine. He went to the door of the hut. He announced, "I'm returning this for the Queen." Needless to say, the woman was in shock. Says all she could say was, "If I knew it was the Queen, I would have given her my best one." Well, ain't that interesting? If she had known it was the queen, I'd have given her the best one. But since she didn't know, she gave her the ugly one. Is that how we do with God sometimes? If you think about it, see, I'm leaning into the stewardship thing, sneaking on a way of doing it. Okay? The issue, of course, is do we give God our best or don't we? Okay? So if we knew, well, I knew it was God at the door, I would have given him the best thing I had. Oh, how about that, sports fans? See, God is sneaky. He comes to us sometimes when he don't look like God. All right? Somebody who needs help sometime, he come. That could be him coming at the door. So we always got to be on guard, be on, have our alert, have our attitude up that maybe it's God coming to the door or whatever. I mean, I've given food to guys at the McDonald's and at wherever, you know, because I don't know. I mean, all of a sudden I walk outside and there's a guy standing there like, you know, like, could you give me some help, man? I need some money to buy some food. I said, oh, for heaven's sakes, I'm in a hurry. Oh, all right, you know. Take him inside. Get this guy what he wants. What do you want, man? What do you want to eat? And so he gave him some food and all that kind of stuff. And he walked out. And later on, drive away in the car. And I started crying like a baby. Go get me started again. Think about, was that Jesus? Could that have been him or not? And that's the way he is. I mean, he comes up to us when we least expect him. Okay? And so we got to be at the attitude of thanking God to have the opportunity to help somebody even. See? That's what we got to do. So God wants us, of course, to accomplish what he wants us to do each and every day. And leaning on this attitude of gratitude in ourselves so that we can then pass it on to others, you know, like pass it on, you know, so other people can be helped also. So that's what stewardship is all about. How am I a steward for what God has given me? Even the little I have sometimes. Can I help others anyway? He gives us an opportunity, again, to lay up treasure in heaven. And we do that by reaching out and giving to others and helping those that need it. These words I have spoken in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.